This morning, may our time together be like a cool breeze. This morning, may our time together be like soothing rain. This morning, may our time together be like refreshing rain. This morning, may our time together be a blessing. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are, or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. And there are seats down front, all y'all setting up seats in the back. Whether you are with us on site, in the back, or online, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school today after the word for all ages. But I just want to say, who's teaching godly play today? Do we know who's?
Amy.
Amy, and she's probably up there already. I just wanted to say it was hot up there, so if they needed to go into that room. So Neil, when Amy comes down, if she wants to move into that room where there's some air conditioning, she could always do that. Okay. We gather this morning acknowledging the land we are on, the rocks and waters of this land, the plants and animals of this land, the air we share. We also acknowledge the original people of this land, including the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people, as well as the legacy of the Natick Praying Indians, and all those who have walked on this land before us, as well as our own ancestors. We remember ourselves as part of a web extending back in time, forward in time, and in every direction in time.
Amen.
Amen. After worship this morning, for those on site, we have time for food and fellowship right here in the vestry. And Sharon is bringing us together after worship. Those of us who've read the book Remarkably Bright Creatures, we will be gathering for a discussion.
Or if you didn't read it.
Or if you didn't read it. Or if you did not, you can just pretend to have read it. And I actually read it. And if you didn't read it, come to the book discussion. And if you don't come to the book discussion, you should still sign up to get it from the library, because it's a really good book. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your body, mind, and spirit. Deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders. Even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light. The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, I'm Wayne.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here and all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together.
Come as you are. Amen.
Our opening hymn, number 54, is For the Beauty of the Earth. You're invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Oh,
As we come together in prayer, we'll begin with some silence, a chance for you to center and reflect on what new seed God might be planting in your life. Let us pray. Mighty Planter God, you've thrown seed on the ground that it might take root, seeds of hope and abundance and new life. But in our limited understanding, we have mixed in seeds of fear and bitterness, of greed and apathy. And then, seeing our mistakes, we have torn up the garden trying to fix it. We have pushed out our brothers and sisters and siblings, created laws that have hurt and destroyed, and built walls that isolate us from others and from ourselves. Forgive us our anxious weeding, O God, and help us to repair the garden of your heart. Show us how to cultivate a place of fruitfulness and hospitality, a place of grace and peace. Teach us how to be gardeners with you, partners in the creation of beloved community, and in our own beings and in the world. And hear us as we pray the words taught to us by the one who showed us the beauty of your garden. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, for somebody today, you will be the face of God, the hands of God, the voice of God, the compassion of God, the peace of God. God is working through you in the world. What a responsibility and what a joy. So let's turn to each other in person and online and let the God light shine. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, God's peace be with you.
And also
this summer, our godly play gatherings are focusing on some of Jesus' parables, old, important, and mysterious stories. And Reverend Cindy is also. This week.
That makes it sound like I was old and mysterious.
Yes.
And your point? This week, it's a parable of the mustard seed. Visions of that parable can be found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We'll hear one from Matthew chapter 13, since that's where we started last week. This section of Matthew actually has lots of parables. We'll hear a few more before the summer is over. This is how Matthew chapter 13 starts. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while a whole crowd stood on the beach. Then Jesus told the parable of the sower, the parable of weeds and wheat, the parable of the mustard seed, that's today's focus, and the parable of the yeast. Then Jesus told three quick parables in a row, including the parables of the great pearl, which we read last week. But back to the parable of the mustard seed, verses 31 and 32. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to wrestle with them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So Jesus loved to use parables to teach. The word parable comes from a word that means compare. A parable compares two things. It uses something we know well to tell us about something that isn't so familiar to us. So say there was somebody who had never had pizza, which I think would be a crisis, and so you wanted to tell them what pizza would be like. You might say, pizza is like a round piece of warm bread with tomato sauce and cheese on it. That's not a parable, but that's the kind of comparing a parable does. If I said to you, you are like a flower garden, I might be trying to say that you are all different and colorful and beautiful, a joy to be near. That's a little closer to being a parable. Except parables are always a little mysterious. So in this morning's parable, Jesus says, God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. Here's what I think happened. Jesus is hanging out with crowds of people, and he has been trying to get them understand what life with God is like. He's looking around, and there he sees a mustard bush growing on the edge of a field. And he says to himself, aha, I think I can use that mustard bush, which they can see and touch and smell, and help them understand life with God, which isn't something that can really be touched and smelled and seen. Throughout his ministry, Jesus used what was in the world around him to teach his followers about God and God's love. Imagine if Jesus were here today. He might look at the pattern on the floor of the vestry and say, life with God is like a labyrinth. You walk a path that twists and turns, but it always brings you to the center. Or he might look at the stage and say, the kingdom of God is like a tech team who sometimes don't make a single sound but help everyone else to hear. Or Jesus might hang around for coffee hour and say, God's love is like a feast with room for all to join in and an abundance so all are fed. You get it? Yeah. Jesus was smart to use the things around him to teach people, but it was not just a clever trick. Jesus was reminding his followers that all around us, everywhere we look, are signs of God's presence, especially in you and in me. So as our kids are getting ready to head off to godly play, to spend more time with the parable of the mustard seed, let us send them with our blessing. Let's get our blessing hands going. Groundbreaking God, bless these young ones, seeds of the divine in our midst. May they feel and see and hear how beautiful and beloved they are. Amen. Amen. Have fun in godly play. Our second reading this morning, I'm just looking at the slide to see if there's a title on there, because if there is, it's wrong. And the time is wrong? Oh, for picking up your children? Well, maybe, yeah. Ignore the title of that reading. I went in a different direction. And yeah, parents, if you don't pick up your kids till 11:45, Amy's going to be super sad. But our second reading this morning is, I mean, I'm sure, actually, she'd be super happy. She'd be super happy. So our second reading this morning is actually You Are a Tiny Speck by Steve Garness Holmes. Steve writes, "You are a tiny speck of God's infinite love. When you let yourself be sown into this world, given to low places, what seems tiny unfolds, miraculously multiplied, because it is God and becomes great. A cedar of Lebanon, a mighty oak of love, a safe refuge for the weary, a source of life and comfort for the meek, a welcome home for God's little ones. We only see the seed, but the unfolding awaits." Amen. So the Olympics start this coming week. If you have somehow never watched any media coverage of the Olympics before, it would be understandable that you would expect to tune in next weekend and see sports like basketball and gymnastics and swimming. And there will be some of that. But for every 8 minutes showing the 400-meter freestyle in swimming, there will be 80 minutes telling the dramatic life stories of the swimmers. Many people aren't turning in so much to watch the pole vault competition as to hear the amazing life story of the pole vault competitors. Or at least it's often the life stories of the competitors that make us care about the competition in the first place. Especially when it's a mustard seed type story. A mustard seed story is one of surprise and drama, expectations exceeded, challenges overcome, the totally ignored tiny gymnast who scores a perfect 10, the bobsled team from a Caribbean country, the polio survivor who becomes the fastest woman in the world. Just like Jesus's parable this morning, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It begins as the smallest of all the seeds on earth, but after it is sown in the ground, nurtured by the earth, watered by the rain, fed by the sun, then it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. Shrubs? Okay, maybe this isn't an Olympic-level parable. That would be like a little acorn growing into a huge tree or the massive cedar used as a metaphor in Hebrew scriptures. The kingdom of God is like a shrub. This does not sound like Jesus at his most inspiring. It's still pretty good. The smallest of all the seeds, it looks like it wouldn't amount to much at all, yet it grows into a great big shrubbery, providing protection for the birds of the air. It's pretty good. It's a good reminder not to write off little things like a kind word to a stranger, a can of tuna in a mini pantry, or a rainbow on a sign. Little things can have a big impact. Amen? Especially with a little bit of care and grace. So something that looks powerless and insignificant might turn out to be surprisingly mighty in the end. Jesus was using the mustard seed to talk about God's kingdom, God's vision for how the world should be, a vision we seek to bring closer each day. We already talked about how Jesus used familiar imagery in his parables. He took people and things and relationships happening right around the people that he was talking to in order to teach them. So the mustard seed parable makes sense. These people grew their own food. They were used to tiny seeds growing into a vast bounty, a lovely parable for the abundance of God's kingdom. So many of Jesus' followers would understand he was calling them to do the sowing in the parable, to keep planting the little seeds that will grow into God's kingdom. Be the sower, grant the little seeds, yay. And some will understand at a deeper level that they themselves are the seeds that God the sower is planting, and they themselves will turn into that mustard shrub, you know, like be the seed. Except Jesus' audience will all be deeply distracted by thinking he has lost his mind. As soon as he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field," they would be horrified. Nobody would do that. Mustard is a weed, an invasive, resilient weed. The little mustard seed doesn't just grow into one shrub. It grows and grows and spreads, taking over whatever land it can. You plant a little in your garden for seasoning, and before you know it, it has grown out everything else. It's like saying the kingdom of God is like a landscaper throwing dandelion seeds into a perfectly manicured lawn. That's the kind of field Jesus has got going here. Or if you're like me, you're not a gardener, it's like a baker decorating a beautiful cake and then finishing it off with like garlic. The people in Jesus' early audience would have been horrified at the comparison between the kingdom of God and a mustard seed. They would not have understood it as an underdog that manages to grow against all odds, but more like the bittersweet that chokes many of our gardens in this area. This is what Jesus uses to describe the kingdom. This is what Jesus' followers are supposed to plant or even be themselves. In scholar Dominic Crossan's word, a pungent shrub with dangerous takeover properties, something you would want in only small and carefully controlled doses if you could control it. Now this sweet little parable has a different feel to it. The kingdom of God is uncontrollable, even dangerous. It might start small, but then it takes over and it grows and grows, becoming part of everything. No wonder the people were confused and Jesus had to unpack the parable with his disciples. Jesus is once again turning everything the people know upside down. Like when he breaks rules to heal someone, chases the money changers out of the temple, eats with tax collectors and sex workers. This parable is a teaching that comes with a warning. Being part of the kingdom will be uncontrollable, even dangerous. It will take over your life, leaving no part of it untouched, and others will see you as an infestation, something to be rooted out. Now, maybe it's not so surprising that the kingdom of God would be seen as something a bit dangerous. After all, it will threaten the status quo of political, economic, and religious powers. But who knew followers of Jesus were going to be called to be weeds? Tenacious, prolific, glorious weeds growing where we are completely unexpected, but most needed. But let's do it. Let's be weeds for love. This world has too many gardens where the powers that be are keeping God's children trapped in careful, orderly rows. There are too many expanses of grass that require everyone to be just like everyone else. Too often, there are acres of asphalt crying out to be broken open by just one small sprout. Let us be dandelions, crabgrass, clover, and mustard shrubs for love. Let us shake up the rows, disrupt the lawn, crack open the empty lot. Wherever we go, and we will go everywhere, may we spread the beauty and shelter and nature and nurture and radical love of God's kingdom. The seed of God has been sown in our midst. Nothing can stop it now. Let us be weeds for love, overtaking this world with God's love. Amen. Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
thanks to Taylor, we have already prayed, but we will pray one more time. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud. All are invited to send prayers to prayers@fccnadic.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today?
Singing to Taylor's voice.
I know. Thank you, Taylor, for singing for us this morning. We're so grateful for that. Miriam.
What to celebrate?
Miriam and Keith have just come back from Tijuana, where there's a domestic violence shelter that Miriam has volunteered at before. It is run by one of our colleagues and classmates from Andover Newton, Delis Carrion, and Keith and Miriam this time brought with them a gift, a financial gift from this congregation to support the women and children living in this domestic violence shelter. Keith and Miriam also brought materials for the kids to do art and play with, and so we are grateful for that gift. We are grateful that you were able to bring it. We're grateful for Delarice's ministry there. Thanks. Yeah, Didi.
I don't see the materials here today, but celebrating
we celebrate Joey's adoption on Friday. It was a day full of celebration. His big brother and his little brother are both thrilled. They actually participated in the legal aspect of the adoption ceremony by hitting the gavel. So we are so overjoyed that Joey's family has expanded. So we celebrate with Michelle, Kat, Noah, Mikey, and Joey this morning. Gail, do you have any joys over there? The other joy I have is Natick Nights this past week was a beautiful night in every way. It wasn't too hot, it wasn't raining, and it was a blast to help Sharon out with the Bubble Palooza that Sharon set up on the side yard. Hordes of families making bubbles. It was absolutely delightful. So huge thanks to Sharon and the welcome team for putting that together. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yeah, Pam. What did you just say her name?
Etris.
Okay. So we're holding Ulrika and Pam in our prayers, first of all, because Ulrika's brother Peter is going in for surgery on Tuesday, and we've been praying about his health for a while, and this surgery on Tuesday is big, so we are surrounding Peter in prayers. But meanwhile, his wife Etris is holding a lot of anxiety, and as Pam says, she's heading to the doomsday scenario. So a lot of our prayer needs to go to her to help her manage her anxiety so her husband has space to go through surgery and do some good healing work. So we're holding that whole family in our prayers. Thanks, Pam. Yeah, Taylor.
I was wondering
This is just completely unacceptable. Clementine at 2 is in the hospital in London having had a neck infection and surgery. And so not only is she having to deal with that at 2, but she's also pretty stressed out by the medical folks around her. So prayers for Clementine to have confidence in that team that they will do everything they can to be gentle and caring for her. And prayers, surely, for Clementine's mom. Thanks, Taylor. Gail, do you have any more concerns over there besides what's on my list? Okay, so prayers this morning for Gretchen and her family. Her uncle Donald is, who's been having some health issues, the family has decided to bring in hospice. So Gretchen and her mom are on their way to spend some time with Uncle Donald. We are grateful that hospice can provide such support for families. We also know just thinking about hospice can make people stressed out. So prayers for Gretchen and for all of Uncle Donald's family, and prayers for comfort for him. And also, Sarah Lynn is on vacation for one more week, but she also hasn't been feeling well, and it's just not fair to be sick on your vacation. So prayers for Sarah Lynn as well. Are there any I missed? Let us come into a time of prayer. Loving God, we know we don't need to say the names and places aloud because you are already at work in our world, working toward peace, working toward healing, working toward comfort, working toward home. It is for our sake that we say these names aloud because it helps us to know that each other is holding our worries and doubling our joys. So in this time and place today, we celebrate Joey's new family. We hold in our prayers folks in Tijuana who have fled domestic violence. We're grateful for time off, even if we're not feeling well, as we pray for healing and comfort for Sarah Lynn. We're holding Peter and Idris in our prayers as they face a week full of challenges. May there be comfort and peace. For Donald and his family, as they start to think about this life coming to an end, may there be peace and even moments of joy. We hold in our prayers Clementine and her family and the medical staff around her, that all of them might be able to bring Clementine healing so that she can be out of the hospital and back at home. And God, we cast our eyes around the world where there is so much trauma and stress. We don't forget it, even when we know we can't do anything to fix it all. But we send the peace of this time and place out into the world, knowing that it matters. Hear us, hold us, and be with us. Amen. Religious communities received an urgent request from A Place to Turn, the food pantry in Natick. Their diaper project is in great need. They have as many as 91 families a week coming to them for this basic necessity, and their shelves are bare. We were able to send a donation immediately so the diaper project could go buy diapers. This came out of the Communion Fund, the offering we take on the first Sunday of each month, overseen by the Congregational Care Team. We're not collecting for that fund today, but I still wanted you to know the impact your generosity is having right now on area families. The outreach team will work on other ways we can support the diaper project, but it is so helpful to be able to respond to a need right away. We can only do that because of your generosity. Sometimes, when we give to FCC Natick, we have no idea what our money will go for, but we give so that we can be ready when the call comes in. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, think about all those families keeping their kids clean and dry because of your generosity in the past and present. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the hands that have given them, that they might know the ways in which they are your hands in the world. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is We Are Not Our Own. Seated. Beloved, may God bless you, keep you, and be gracious to you. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hands and do good with them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.